Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Anybody remember what we're talking about? The apostles. Very good. And in particular, old Johnny boy. Yeah. Old Johnny boy. John the apostle. Mark chapter 3. That was good this morning, Johnny. Mark chapter 3. Verse 16. We'll read this. We'll read another verse, and then we'll get into it. Mark chapter 3. Verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And here they are. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house. Now, John chapter 19, back over there. John chapter 19. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother, that's his own mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. So John, we have a tag with these we've been talking about. Of course, Peter was the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. You remember what Andrew was? The apostle of small things. And James? The apostle of passion. And John? The apostle of love. And I do this every time, but that's just how it goes. Why? Why is he the apostle of love? If it's something that he grew into. We talked about that. For in his young age, he was much like his older brother. They were very much alike. Much like Peter. I don't know if he was that bad, but he was much like Peter. But we looked at last time, I think last time or the time before, we talked about John uses some form of the word love, loveth, loved in his writings. Does anybody remember how many times? Not exactly, but anybody got any idea? It was 109 times he used love, loveth, loved, something like that. And as a comparison, we talked about who wrote most of your New Testament, if you just look at the verses, not necessarily, or the words. Do you remember who it was? It was Luke. Most people. It was Luke. And in comparison, John used a form of the word love 109 times. Luke, who wrote the majority now, barely, but the majority, used it 15. Matthew uses those variations of the word 14, and Mark 7. So John's focused on love. Now, I talked about it before, and we'll look at probably today. He's also focused on other things, one of them being truth. But he is focused on love. But thinking about John in his early years, and you may not even know, you may not even have ever thought about it, but what would you know about John without his gospel and his epistles? What would you know about him? What do we gain, what knowledge do we gain of him from the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke? And maybe even some things in Acts. Anybody? What do you know about him? Well, you know something. He was an apostle. What else do you know? He was in the inner circle of three. What else? That about it? What was his daddy's name? Zebedee. What was his mama's name? Salome. Where was he from? Capernaum. What kind of business? I'll give it away. What kind of fishing business did he have? The good ones. He was a fisherman. We know some things. But what things would you not know if it wasn't for his writings? Now, those synoptic gospels, they're synoptic because they're written very similarly. John's is separate. You wouldn't get a look into a lot of things. A lot of things. Turn real quick. Let's just look at this for a second to John chapter 18. Just a couple of things we wouldn't even know without the Gospel of John. And these may be some things you didn't know until you read it right now. John chapter 18. Let's look at verse 12. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now, what in the world are they taking him to Annas for if Caiaphas was the high priest? Any ideas?
Not wanting to wake Caiaphas
up. Maybe. They didn't want to bother Caiaphas. What else maybe? Idea? Reckon he was the puppet master? Pulling the strings, possibly. Kind of like Obama and Biden now. But anyway. 14. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And he didn't even know what he was talking about. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the place of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door without. That other disciple, it's almost totally agreed that it's John. You're not told that anywhere else. We learn it from him. Not only did Peter go with Jesus that night, John went too. And matter of fact, John went on in and Peter stayed outside and got in trouble. You wouldn't know that without John. But notice he doesn't name himself. And he's good about that in his gospel. Look at something else. So John chapter 19, we just read it. Look at verse 25. Now, we'll come back and talk about this a little bit later. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Who is the disciple? It's almost totally agreed that it's John. You're not told this anywhere else. Only in the Gospel of John. And he does not name himself. You want to go ahead or you want to wait?
Doesn't matter. Just one of those random thoughts.
Okay, go ahead.
I've made this statement several times through this study that the picture that I've always had in my mind, it turns out is not correct. And what you just read in chapter 18 fits that as well. Because I've always thought of you have the scene at the garden where Jesus is arrested and everybody scatters. And I always thought that Peter was just, you know, everybody was doing their thing and Peter just happens to be out in the courtyard and, you know, he's accosted and accused of being one of the disciples. I just now saw as you were reading that he was summoned into the presence of John, Jesus, and the high priest.
Right.
I never made that connection before.
Yep.
until we were reading this just now. It says that John, we're assuming that John is that disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I think for this study that's appropriate. That John told the girl that kept the door, hey, go get Peter and bring him in here.
Mm-hmm.
I never put that together before.
Yeah. That happened the whole time I'm doing this study.
Yeah.
I thought I knew things that I did not know.
Right.
I thought things that ended up not being true.
Not being correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's good. That's true. But yeah, so we wouldn't know that. John hadn't told us.
Not for digging.
Right. He didn't name himself.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that, and now I think, hey, man, there was a disciple who was friends with the family of the high priest. That's a prestigious thing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he would want a little credit for that. But he doesn't even name himself.
Right.
The one at the cross. John is there. He's the only one there. The only one of the disciples. At least that's what we're told. Maybe I didn't word that right. At least that we're told.
Yeah.
He's the only one. But guess what? He doesn't say, I, John, stayed with Jesus to the end. The focus is not on John. Even in the term, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's not a term that shines the light on John. That's a term that shines the light on Jesus.
Right.
That Jesus could love somebody like John. Now, if he's the apostle of love, he has all this love in his heart. Why is it such a wonder that Jesus would love somebody like him? Well, when you look at his earlier years, you find out he was much like James and Peter. And just like the rest of us, it's a wonder he'd love any of us. And John was in awe of that, I think. So you wouldn't know about that. And then John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. Where was Mary from? I may not ever remember to ask this question. This is Mary Magdalene. Anybody know? Magdala. Thus, Magdalene. She was from the area of Magdala, or Magdala, however you want to say it. Then the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So here we have a scene where Mary Magdalene sees the risen Christ. She goes and tells Peter, because he's the leader. And Peter and John go running to the sepulchre, and John outruns him. And comes in first, looks in, sees the linen clothes, but he don't go in. I think probably out of respect for the older Peter. Peter comes, go, and as Peter gets there, they walk in. John, and it said that John saw the linen clothes and believed. So you wouldn't know that without the Gospel of John. You're not told that in the Synoptic Gospels. And John doesn't name himself here. He got to the sepulchre first. He's the first one that is said after the resurrection of Christ that he believed. Is that not noteworthy? Would you not want your name out there? Now, when I ask that, we can be a little holier than we usually are. We say, no, I don't want my name out there. I'm just saying, it's noteworthy that John doesn't shine the light on John. He shines the light on Jesus. Again, even in that tag, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So there are things we would not know without the Gospel of John. There's teachings we would not know apart from the epistles of John. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I don't want to go into that yet. But I do at some point before this study is over plan on looking at, there are sections of Scripture that we would not know anything about if it were not for John. Now these are parts about John, but I'm talking about there are parables. There are healings of Jesus Christ. There's other things we would not know. Common things that you will know, we don't know if it weren't for John. We're not told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So John is an important contributor to our Bible. Now, back to what we were talking about last time. John is black and white. That's what we really talked about last time. Where's the gray area? If you don't love each other, you're not of God. No gray area there. If you commit sin, you're not of God. No gray area. Now, again, that word sin, that is a lifestyle or habitual sin. But there's no gray area with John. And he does even go on and say, like we said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Well, he just said, if you sin, you're not of. So you have to reconcile these things. You can't pick and choose. But John doesn't belabor that point. His point is, you should be doing right. You should not sin. You should love one another. You should forgive one another. That's John's point. And he is the apostle of love. But he's also the apostle of truth. So let's get into this. So he uses love 109 times in his writing. And he uses the word truth 45 times in his writing. Nobody in the New Testament says anything any more about truth than John, except for Jesus. John is focused on love, but he's also focused on truth. Look in John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1:14. Let's read some of these. John 1:14. And we'll just go ahead and read through 17 because 17 is the next one. And the Word was made flesh. Now he'd been talking about a word, capital W. Some entity that was with God and that was God. And now he's going to tell us who it is. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know what he's talking about? He's not just saying Jesus was great. He said, we beheld his glory. That's the Mount of Transfiguration. You had Peter, you had James, you had John. Jesus was transfigured before them. And we'll probably look at that maybe today, maybe next time. Full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried. Now, there are different Johns. We've talked about that. So you got to be careful. This is John the Baptist. And to help you out, when you read the Gospel of John, John never mentions himself by name. So, there you go. Anytime you read the Gospel of John and you see the name John, it is not John the Apostle. 100%, he never mentions himself by name. Okay? So, here's John. John the Baptist, bear witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay, now chapter 4. I'm not going to look at every time he mentioned truth, just a couple. Chapter 4, verse 23. These are the words of Jesus. He's talking to this Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh us to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're going to worship him, it has to be on the basis of truth. And then chapter 8, maybe the most known one, and the greatest mention, chapter 8, verse 32. These are the words of Jesus. John 8, 32. Jesus says, "And ye shall know the truth." And I'm glad he didn't stop there. He said, "And the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. What does that mean? In contrast, if truth sets you free, what does deceit do? What do lies do? They bring you into bondage. Jesus is talking to a group of Pharisees here that end up believing on him. Now you have to think, what had they been taught their whole life? The law. The law. The law, the law, the law, the law, the law. Military leader. He's going to come back. It's going to happen during our time. He's going to overthrow Rome. We're going to be set up as the greatest people in the world. That's what they were taught. You have a group that believes on him, and what does Jesus say to them? "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Don't be falling back into that stuff you've heard. Don't be falling back into that stuff that you were taught as a young child. You're going to learn the truth, and that truth will set you free. Or you can be a bondage to deceit. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now, 14, John chapter 14, verse 6. John 14, we'll start with 5. John 14, 5. Jesus saith unto him, "Lord," I'm sorry, Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." All right, one more here, 15. Verse 26. So we've talked about truth of the Father. We've talked about truth from the Son. We might as well get the third one. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Truth, 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 truth. Love, yes, love, but truth. Love with truth. First, all right, real quick, let's read like two or three here. First John, that was the, we looked at some in his gospel there. Let's look at some in his epistles. First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. Verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light," and that's the question, are we walking in the light? "As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And chapter 3, verse 18, "My little children," that's a phrase that he uses many times in his epistle. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Love with truth. Truth with love. 2 John, turn over a page there. Verse 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." truth, 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 truth. 3 John 1 through 4. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Truth, 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 truth. Love, he's the apostle of love. Yes. He's the apostle of truth also. What is love without truth? Well, let me ask you this. I guess it's a little easier to say. What is truth without love?
Just harshness.
It's harshness. If somebody, I mean, it's a sin to shack up before you're married. But if you go to somebody, point your finger in their face, and do nothing but rail them over without doing it in love, it's just harshness. But what is love without truth? That's harder to define. To put you know you need love and truth, and you need truth and love. But what is love without truth?
That's enabling.
Enabling. Go ahead. That may be right.
Say that again.
He's not sure it even exists. Can you have love without truth? Maybe. That's what I had. You look at my notes?
No.
It's enabling.
Great minds think alike.
At least one. So you've got harshness if you give truth without love. On the flip side, if you give love without truth, you're an enabler. So there's a fine balance between the two. Love and truth, and truth and love. How do we even know what love is?
You have to discover the truth.
Well, yeah, you do, but there was a great truth.
That's the one I'm talking about.
How do we even know what love is?
Like anything else, brother, you've got to go to the scripture to know what he means.
That's true. You got to go to the scripture. Exactly right. But how do we know what love is? We know love. We love because what? He first loved us. He's the example. Love, look to him. Truth, look to him. Well, that's what... You're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. For those on Facebook, as Betsy said, that society's view of love is fleshly. That's good. It's fleshly. Fleshly. I love pizza.
I love pizza, yeah. And the thing is usually we love something. The way we use love, it's in regards to how it benefits us. We love it because it's useful to us.
Yep.
So that's not biblical love. In regards to truth, when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, every time you see the word be, that's a definite article. And it's exclusive.
Yeah.
Being and all of it.
The way. Well, you're going to be told, if you haven't already, that this book is just an old book full of fables and fairy tales. Is that truth? You're going to be approached with all kind of things. But if you truly love, and you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to seek truth. I didn't say if you were saved. I said if you're walking in the Spirit, there's a difference. You can be saved and not be walking in the Spirit. But if you truly love, you're going to try to seek out the truth. What's the greatest question about truth? The greatest question. John chapter 18. The greatest question about truth was given to us by a Roman. John chapter 18, verse 28, and we'll have to be quick. John 18, 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. It was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, for that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. They said, We wouldn't even brought him to you if there wasn't some level of truth to what we're saying about him. But there wasn't. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge accordingly, according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Didn't they stone people? They just tell a lie here?
Say that again.
They just tell a lie here?
Not necessarily.
Okay, why?
Because they didn't specify whether they were speaking of Jewish law or Roman law.
You're right. So it's all about
they're trying to put the
your perspective
on Pilate because they want to be innocent. I guess I should say they want to be justified.
You got to kill him because you won't let us.
Right. You have the rule over us. You do it.
Yeah. And so then that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing, or did others tell it thee of me? And in one place, in another gospel, he said, Thou sayest. He said, you said it. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, Here's the question. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. The greatest question about truth is, what is the truth? What is it? What is it? And it can be something of it can be a perspective thing. You know, well, there's the old saying, believe nothing you hear and half of what you see. And we say that and we go, that's right. But then we're human. But that old saying's there, believe nothing you hear and half of what you see. But it can be kind of a perspective thing. Yesterday we were at jiu-jitsu, and I got to quit. And Colby was helping. He was helping me teach, but he was helping a guy who hadn't been there many times, so he didn't know much. And we were running out of time. And what we do is we show them something, and then we pair them up, and we let them practice it for several minutes. And then we'll show them something, and we'll pair them up, and we'll let them practice to try to let them get better. And so we showed the last thing. I looked at Kobe, and I said, you don't do it. Usually, like, when they're partnered up, this person will do the technique, and then this person will do it, and this person will do it. I said, Kobe, you don't do it. You know how to do it. Let him do it. He's the one that needs to practice. Well, I turned away and walked over, and I think I went over where Johnny and Luke were. And when I turned around, guess who was doing the technique? Colby. And I'm going to tell you, my temperature rose. And I walked over there. Now, what is my perspective? He did what I told him not to. That is truth to me in that moment. But I went over to him, and I must have had a look on my face, because when he looked at me, He looked like that little boy that I whooped back there in that bathroom. Some of y'all might remember. And everybody in the church heard it. And he said, no, no, no. He said, he asked me to show it to him. Changed everything. That was the truth. And it changed everything. Immediately, my blood pressure went down. I don't know how long it takes, but I felt better. Immediately, you know, things got better. When I found out truth. So, like John, love is very important. It cannot be forsaken for truth. But likewise, truth is extremely important. But it cannot be forsaken for love. They have to coincide. Truth and love. Truth and love. Truth and love. Truth in love. Truth in love. So, John, he's definitely the apostle of love. He's also the apostle of truth. And next time, I don't even know where I'm at. But we'll look at something next time. So, truth and love. Truth and love. Yes, sir. Yep.
Not really to do with this lesson, but I just want to say that I appreciate the way that you go about teaching Sunday school. I and anybody else that pays attention can tell you didn't go together before breakfast this morning. And what I appreciate most, yes, your study, but every Sunday school lesson that I have the privilege of sitting in on here, the way that they prove approaches teaching class makes me, and I think anybody else that wants to learn about their Bible, you create in the listener a desire to study their Bible and read their Bible more slowly, more deliberately, more methodically, to see that doesn't just present itself at face value with a quick read over. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. And I think most everybody in here does.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right. Thank y'all. I love y'all. Love you. Brother Hunter, you want to dismiss us?